The views and opinions expressed on this show are purely the views and opinions of the person who made them, and do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the show's commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. As the restriction on our God-given right to free speech manifests itself throughout the world, we are inspired by Jesus Christ's immortal words, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And we reserve the rights to all our words. Thank you, and now enjoy the show.
To learn who rules over you, simply find out who you are not allowed to criticise. You are listening to ACH. I'm Andy, your host, and today I'm delighted to welcome back a gentleman who I think is one of the most skilled radio broadcasters out there. You can find him on RBN on Sunday evenings with his Off the Beaten Path show, and you can also find him on Monday evenings, again on RBN, when he does the National Intel Report. And you go to republicbroadcasting.org for that, and links to Steve's archives will be in the post for this show. So let's bring him up right now. It's Steve Elkins, of course. Steve, are you with us?
Yes, a pleasure to be here again. Once a month, I love this. Look forward to it.
Yeah, me too. And I enjoy listening to your shows also. Caught in Off the Beaten Path on Sunday, was listening to that. I've still got to get to Monday's National Intel Report. And I also mentioned on yesterday's show with Dr. Peter Hammond, we were talking about an issue with someone who supported his ministry, and she had a very interesting life story. She was actually in Germany as a young woman or a child in Lübeck while they were being bombed. And she ended up becoming a missionary, ended up over in South Africa. And for some reason, the time the show went on, I was reminded of our mutual friend Rick Adams, who it seems passed away years ago, but it was only in March of last year. And I know that you participated in a wonderful tribute show with John Stattmiller, who has also sadly passed. And it just came into my mind. I've got a folder absolutely full of Rick shows. I've heard them all before, but I've not gone back and listened to any of them. So I'm really going to do that over the next few days and just go and hear Rick again. But any thoughts on that? And then please take us into your first topic.
Yeah, Rick is sadly missed. We've lost quite a few people at RBN. It's just unfortunate, and the passing of Rick and John Stattmiller. Actually, we're coming up on 7 months now. It's amazing that I think of John quite a bit through the week. You know, here and there he'll pop into my mind, and some things we talked about, and our debates, our arguments, always coming up. Being, of course, we were good friends, and he is sadly missed. And well, we're going to continue on with RBN and keep doing our mission of bringing the truth out there. And at least if not that, discussion on the topics. We need to talk about the issues here and not be told, oh, that's taboo, we can't talk about that. Sure, we can. We can. And we can do that in independent media versus the mainstream media, which is I love. And if you listen to RBN, we're interactive with our studio, our audience, our listening audience, and that calls in. And rarely do we go off track that we have to say, oh, this is a troll, I got to shut him down and end the call. But that's what the whole independent media movement really is about. It's about talking about issues. It's about sharing ideas and finding solutions to problems. And so I'm in for the long haul. I'm going to be doing this for a while. Unless they just shut me down completely, the network. And but other than that, they'd be shutting down Alex Jones and everybody else also, Truth Frequency and yourself and, Rents. Everybody would be shut down. And then that actually would tell you more so what's really going on in this country here as far as the mainstream media, the government itself, the governmental style they're going in. They're no longer, you can't say democracy when you're removing any kind of other voices of information out there, because if you do, you just have one voice of information, and then we know that would be more of a dictatorship, a communistic style. And so if you remove all those things, those oppositions of those voices talking, it kind of makes my case, doesn't it? Makes my case of what kind of government we really have.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's where they want to take it. They I think this was part of the COVID model. One of the first times that we really saw that you didn't have two opposing opinions on a news show and let the audience be the judge. Any dissenting voice was completely banned, even to the extent, and I know that you're going to touch on this today because you were talking to your friend Dr. Peter McCullough only a couple of days ago, and I know you've got some interesting information on that that we'll get into later in the show. But it's just crazy. These people, they've got the money and they've got the power, but they've never had the intellect. They can't seem to square that circle. They think, oh well, we'll just shut this up, we'll shut that up, and we'll go here, there, and they don't realize that each time they do that, more and more people wake up, and that's why they've never achieved their goal historically. And I pray that that's going to be the same this time. Back to you, Steve.
Well, you know, that's the easiest thing to do. If you can't debate the issue, what do? You label them with something derogatory so they go away and shut up. And, you know, to me, it would be better, more fulfilling on the other side there. If they believed in their argument, they believed in their agenda, they could debate the issue and humiliate you and put you to shame by the information they can bring to back up their agenda. But they can't do that. So what they simply do is try to shame you, try to race bait you, try to say discrimination in order to shut you down, to stifle your speech, and rather than debate the issues. And I'm about debating the issues. You know, I bring attention to some issues. We talk about them here and there. And I'm not, most of the time, I'm very open to say, well, let's see what you've got to say. And weighing the evidence of what you've got here, and you may just change my mind. You may just change my mind. I may come back and say, you know what? Great idea. Didn't see it from that angle. That's what this is all about. We're talking about issues. We're trying to find solutions to problems. And that's what this is all about. This whole week, I was, Andrew, I was really keyed up last week, middle of last week. I was keyed up about the FDA is meeting sometime this week, and they are going to discuss giving the messenger RNA COVID shot to infants 5 months and older. And I came across a couple videos. I can't tell you who it was who put the video out, but the website was called opposethefraud.com. And the person that did the video talked about to that website, clicking on the green tab and make your voice be heard, hit the comments and send a comment to the FDA before they have their big meeting and opposing what's going to happen here. Now they're looking to push mandates. The United States government has already bought 10 million doses of this messenger RNA shot. And that's not a vaccine, because it's a vaccine prevents a shot. The government has already purchased 10 million doses. So we know what's going to happen here. The FDA is going to ask for authorization and get the emergency use authorization, the EUA. And this they're going to roll through with this thing here. They're going to start giving these shots to infants at 5 months and older. This is going to get rubber stamped, no doubt about it. But you're still going to follow under the same guidelines. As if something goes terribly wrong, your child is harmed, guess what? You can't sue anybody. You can't sue the government. You can't sue the pharmaceutical. So I went on the website as the first day I saw the video, and I wrote my opposition letter. And I'd like to read it to you really quick here. It's not that long. It's a half page. And if these people in FDA don't know who I am, they do now, which is okay. I'm all right with that. I'm in for the long fight on this one here. I love children. I've got 5 grandchildren of my own, and I care about their future. So I wrote the letter. It's actually posted on RBN also, along with the title of the video. But here's what I wrote. I oppose the use of any experimental messenger RNA gene therapy shots on infants, children, and adults. Children have a very low incidence of death from COVID-19. Therefore, pursuing a treatment is not necessary. There has not been sufficient testing and trials on any of these messenger RNA gene therapies. And I say gene therapies, that's what they are. And the outcomes are unknown at this time. So what may become in the future? If these messenger RNA gene therapies are safe and effective, as we have been told, that's at 95.4% safe and effective, then why pass them through the FDA using an emergency use authorization? Why not approve these shots at this high percentage, 95.4%, and take liability if harm or death is caused? If safe and effective, then why am I seeing patients who have been vaccinated and boosted getting COVID? I've worked in the ICU for 29 years. In that time, I have never seen a young person, teenager to mid-30s, with myocarditis. I never have. I do now, and on a regular basis, all having received a COVID messenger RNA shot or series of shots. I use the word shot over vaccine because a true vaccine prevents the person from acquiring the pathogen through an antigen-antibody response. So if a teenagers are at risk with acquiring myocarditis from a COVID shot, then it would be assumed that an infant or young child with a weak but developing immune system would also be at great risk of myocarditis and other cardiac issues from taking a COVID shot. I oppose this action based on my medical experience, health risk benefit analysis. There is no greater immunity than natural acquired immunity from exposure to a pathogen and from your own immunological response. Sincerely, Stephen Elkins, RNBSN, ICU, ER. So they got that. RBN is posted on the RBN website. It was just kind of a template of how I felt about the issue. The letters were supposed to go in by midnight tonight. Of course, your broadcast will be playing on Friday, this rebroadcast. I'd still encourage anybody who hears that and understands what we're trying to stop here to go ahead anyway and go to opposethefraud.com. I don't think it's going to shut down. I think you can still make your opposition heard and write them a note and tell them how you feel about this. This is experimental. As I said before, the future is unknown. This has not been trialed for any length of time. This is total Frankenscience, experimental, and you're experimenting on little children and infants. This is crazy. This is so crazy to even think about that we're going to be doing this. Possibly they may be doing this.
Yes, I agree. It's it was funny because they fell over themselves in this country. When Matt Hancock was the health secretary, he made it quite clear that they were never going to be rolling these vaccinations out for children. And then suddenly, shortly after he goes, other people start making noises about, oh, well, probably quite a good idea and things like that. So, I think the whole thing is a weapon, in my opinion, because look at the amount of people who've died after taking the shot. I mean, I give the figures in this country alone off our government's website every week, Steve, and we're up to over 2,000 people having died, according to the government's website, after taking one of the three vaccines in this country. We have the Pfizer, the AstraZeneca, and the Moderna. And we've had over 450,000 people having been injured after taking these vaccines. And they always say afterwards, so isn't necessarily because of it, but you know that they would downplay the likelihood of them downplaying the figures is far greater than the likelihood of them picking them up. So that really is astonishing. And I go back to when President Ford took that vaccination off the market in the mid-70s. You'll be able to tell us more about that. It was about 57 people died and the whole thing was pulled. Well, that was just in America. We've had all these people in the UK, which is a country of like 67, 68 million people. Back to you.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, this is a question that should be asked. I never saw anyone in the mainstream media address this issue with this blanket immunity from lawsuits, any kind of liability, any kind of harm done from these shots. Again, shots, not vaccines. Why, if they advertised it at 95.4% safe and effective, why not take liability for it? I mean, that's pretty dang high. That's a pretty dang high odds. That's higher odds than the medications they put out on TV, the pill form. Those are higher odds than you have with those pills, because we see the lawyers on TV coming back in your corner. If you were harmed and damaged by taking this medication, we're in your corner. We're suing. We're going to get money from the pharmaceutical. And but yet you have somebody coming out, the pharmaceutical coming out and saying, our product is safe and effective at 95.4%. Well, then how come there's no liability? How come there's no accountability for that high percentage? Nobody's ever asked that question. Other than myself, nobody ever asked that question.
Yeah. No, I know. It's and again, it just goes back to the way that we talked about earlier, just not allowing any dissenting voices out there into the mainstream. And you have all these people, you know, dropping dead in different fields in the area of sports and things like that. And now this Justin Bieber's face has frozen up. And we've already, it was admitted that his wife had a stroke after taking the vaccine. I mean, these people are only in their 20s. What can you tell us about, we're running with the show title today, folks, of sudden adult death syndrome, which is essentially what we're being told is going on with, this is a new condition that they've basically brought out to cover how lots of people are just inexplicably dropping dead. But I find this strange. I knew that they were going to have to come up with something, because obviously we knew the various alternative doctors that had come out. I would say independent doctors, as you say, independent media, Steve. We'll get that right. Otherwise, it sounds like, you know, they might not know what they're doing. But independent doctors, they've... Dolores Cahill recently, I've not heard it, I've been on before, it's news.com, I can see the headline. She says all these people who have been vaccinated are going to be dead within 3 to 5 years. Now, I don't know the situation, I've not got into that too much, but I know that a lot of people have died, and this should have ended the vaccines long ago, but they haven't. So this, to me, is malicious. What I thought that they would do is they would say, oh, these people who've been vaccinated that are dying, it's because there's a new strain out there that, you know, is affecting them or what have you. I didn't realise that they try and come out with a completely new condition called sudden adult death syndrome to cover it. I think that they've you know, gone the wrong way on that one. What's your thoughts about this coming out now?
Well, the first time I saw that, I looked at my wife and I said, you know what that is? I said, that's your excuse for the future. That's your excuse of why young people are going to be dropping dead or dying in their sleep. And we're just going to say, oh, it just happens. It's called sudden adult death syndrome. And, you know, playing on the SIDS, the sudden infant death syndrome, which was that diagnosis was given. Oh, geez, that must be 30, 40 years now. But they had to find some reason to explain these young people just that looked very healthy, appeared healthy, and then were just dying in their sleep or just dropping dead. I have seen a couple cases back in the day, many years ago, probably in the 90s. And it is sudden, but it's always an arrhythmia. It's usually an electrical conduction problem, an arrhythmia problem, a heart problem, that somebody just goes to bed and doesn't wake up. Something with the electrical system in their heart. And so it's not that healthy people just go to bed and then stop breathing and die. This was all created for a reason to explain the wave of death we're going to be seeing here in the future. And that's when I thought about it. I texted Dr. Peter McCullen here on our texting schedule here. And he pretty much focuses on the medical side. Like I said, we talked about that earlier. He doesn't want to go in the direction of, you know, the Klaus Schwab, the Great Reset, depopulation, Bill Gates, and that whole agenda there. He pretty much focuses on medical, and I understand that because he doesn't want to get canceled. We want to keep him out there. He's doing a great job for the issues that he's talking about, the science, the real science, true science, coming from Dr. McCullough and Dr. Malone and others. So we want to keep him out there. And well, you and I can discuss the other parts of that, the Agenda 2030 depopulation agendas. But I threw at him, I said, you know, this was created. My theory is this was created to cover themselves for all those vaccine injuries or those vaccine deaths that will be coming. Because remember, this is the messenger RNA. This is the gene modifier. This is going to flip on switches everywhere with the cancer cells, the abnormal cells in your body now being expressive. You may get cancer earlier instead of in your 70s, you get a cancer earlier in your life. The autoimmune disorders coming on, just all kinds of a number of cardiac issues that would be coming on, and people just dying. Well, they want to explain it, but they don't want to explain it. So they'll write it off as, this is a new syndrome, by the way. It's called sudden adult death syndrome. And I did a little research on it. Actually, the term has been coined back in the 1990s. I think it was 1991. And I don't know if that was just placed there prior, because I'd never heard of it. I've been in medicine 29 years and never heard of sudden adult death syndrome. I've heard of people dying, and they've always attributed it to an arrhythmia problem that were young. Never just calling it, labeling it as sudden adult death syndrome. So when I had this conversation back and forth with Dr. Peter McCullough, and I told him my theory that it was created to cover the future of the wave of death we're going to be seeing, he came back and he said, you're absolutely correct. We are going to be seeing a lot of disease and death coming soon. That's how he replied back to me.
Yeah, well, I'm sad to say that I'm not surprised. I've got the information out there of what these doctors have said, and I'm not a doctor myself, so it's very shocking when you see people like Dolores Cahill, and she's not the only one that have predicted these people will be dead within 3 to 5 years. But now we can see the indications, as you said, that the story they're floating in the mainstream to essentially cater for that and gradually get people to accept it over time, that it's a normal thing. And I think we saw other things, didn't we, about some sort of advertisements going up, you know, about heart attacks or strokes in children being normal and not to be unexpected. Are you aware of those as well, Steve?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. As a matter of fact, last night, my wife and I'm working on some things, my program for coming days. And I started thinking about the sudden adult death syndrome. And I started looking at the acronym SAD. Of course, it's sad. You know, isn't it strange how it all fits the situation here too? The acronym SAD. Well, yeah, it is sad. But I also came up with another one to cover that. The new wording, instead of sudden adult death syndrome, I call it shot attributing to death, SAD. And that's exactly what we're going to be seeing. These shots are causing the wave of death we're going to see in the future here. Like I said, flipping on the switches to cancers, autoimmune disorders. I know a handful of people already who've taken these shots and having all kinds of health problems now, and it's getting worse and worse for them. And some of them were in remission, and now, boom, they're expressive. Their autoimmune disorder came back. Their lupus came back. They had it under control. They took the shots, and now their lupus is out of control, not doing well. So, yes, again, another DNA modifier. This messenger RNA shot is a modifier of your DNA, flipping on switches, turning off this and that, turning off your immune system, making it weaker. Now, here's something really else interesting. Another text to Dr. McCullough. Believe it or not, we're seeing in the ER right now, coming in through our ER down here in Florida, we're seeing the seasonal flu. The seasonal flu typically is a flu that is associated with vitamin B deficiency and a vitamin D deficiency. That's what we kind of call it. It's a vitamin D deficiency. People don't go outside, don't get the vitamin D. Their immune system lacks. It's not very strong. Of course, all our lifestyle and the holidays, eating sugar, cookies, and all that stuff suppresses the immune system. Alcohol suppresses the immune system. Staying up late at night, is not good on your immune system. A number of other factors in the holiday months attribute to the flu season, actually being a flu season. But it is a vitamin D deficiency and a vitamin B deficiency. So we're seeing it now down here in Central Florida. Well, I live in sunny Florida, Andrew. It is hot. It is sunny. And there should be no vitamin D deficiency. And there really should be no vitamin B deficiency either. So why are we seeing these flus now coming through the ER? So I texted that question to Dr. McCullough. He came back, said because the shots are weakening the immune system to a point where something floating around, the flu that should have been gone long ago, is coming back, being expressive, and possibly maybe even it's doing something maybe with vitamin D absorption by the body itself. But we are seeing the flu come in through the ER now, and we should not be seeing this at all. So it has a lot to do with, he said the shots weakening the immune system, and now you're vulnerable to getting these things. Nobody else has really talked about that, but I don't think really the media knows what's coming through our ER now. I mean, they're fixated on COVID, but we're actually seeing the flu come in now. Very strange.
Yeah. And as you say, especially at this time of year where we're really getting into summer. I mean, in the UK, we're heading for a heat wave and what have you. And I mean, at the moment in my apartment, it's 84 degrees, you know. We don't have aircon as a matter of course in the UK like you do in the US. And you can't really sit here recording a radio show with a fan on, as you are no doubt aware, Steve, with all your experience of doing shows. But yeah. It seems odd, and this I haven't experienced. It was funny because I've got a dentist that I've used for a while, and I talked to him on the subject of fluoride, and he sort of picked up that I was a bit conspiratorial. He said, "Look, you've got to be careful. Fluoride's good for your teeth, and you've obviously been looking at things out of the Daily Mail and things like that." And he said, "We call it the Daily Fail and all this sort of stuff." And I thought, where did he put this sort of information together? And then after the initial lockdowns with the COVID in 2020, I'm going in there for an appointment. I had to wait ages to because they closed down, and then they were only seeing emergency patients, and they were waiting for PPE and all this sort of stuff. And when I got there, it was sort of, he was saying to me that it just didn't make sense, because they were talking about these illnesses spreading in the summer, which is when things like that won't spread. And so he was one of the people that woke up during this COVID business, during these lockdowns. And now, you know, I saw him only earlier in the year, and he's extremely aware of what's going on. And I'll mention to him about certain information, and then he'll mention to me about certain information. So it has backfired on them to a certain extent, the amount of people that would never have dreamed of looking beyond the mainstream media. And they even had problems with things like the Daily Mail being scaremongering from a right-wing perspective, to now actually coming and looking at independent media and independent doctors. You yourself, a health professional, Steve, we hear all these stories about, you know, so many of these health professionals, they don't want to talk about it because, you know, they've got their... you know, that it could affect their medical license, all this sort of thing. What have you noticed in that field amongst other people you've worked with? Are there people waking up?
That's rampant, unfortunately. I'm very, very disappointed in my colleagues, many of my colleagues. There's a few out there that have come clean and said, you know, there's a scam here. There's something going on here, and this is not right. They've done the homework that I have done also to find out these things are very, very, very dangerous. But very few, not enough people have come forward to say, question these things. They've gone along with the government narrative because of their licensure, the board of, you know, their physicians boards. They'll have their license pulled. They'll have their hospital privileges pulled. They'll actually be escorted out of the hospital. How humiliating is that? I've seen that done a couple times. I'm very disappointed. I've lost a lot of friendships, Andrew. I've lost friendships. I've lost family. Over this issue. And I was right. I'm right. I stand by what I said. I stand by what I believe here. And I've proven my point that these things are very dangerous. That's why I'm very adamant about what I'm doing here. That's why I've been working really hard at trying to stop this momentum, this wave of this being mandates, you know, that it's just going to be a part of normal life, of taking more shots, take another shot, acting as if we have no immune systems whatsoever. This is amazing. They're telling us, Andrew, that you have an immune system, but it's not going to work against this stuff. It's not designed to keep you safe and protected against pathogens. Well, yeah, it is. I don't think our Heavenly Father made any mistakes when he put us together here and sent us down, that our immune systems would fail us when we're down here. So, sorry about that. A cough.
That's okay, Steve.
He didn't make any mistakes. Now we do know some new terminology we didn't know about a year ago. I don't think, did anybody ever hear the term gain of function? Did anybody ever hear that term? No, I don't think so. It's all new wording. We found out through the confession of Anthony Fauci that gain of function is tweaking something, making it a little bit stronger, making it more powerful, more virulent. And this is illegal. It was illegal in the United States. So they simply take this this technique, this research to another country and to go outside the law. I guess, you know, I thought there was international law on that too, but I guess not. They can pretty much carry out this kind of testing, gain of function testing. So what we're seeing now is there's plenty of videos out there to discuss this and back it up. This is nothing by nature. This is nothing that came by nature, natural. There are patents prior to the COVID pandemic, the plandemic of COVID. There are patents going back years earlier of a COVID shot. Now, how could that possibly be, Andrew? Because this is all planned out. This is all being planned out. And the shortages we're seeing now, all these things, food shortages, the protein shortages, all being planned out one after another in order to weaken, damage our immune systems, because you need adequate protein intake to have a strong immune system. So expect more and more shortages of man-made shortages of proteins taking out of our circulation. Matter of fact, there was an article I have here. You can go on RBN website and find it here. And this is no coincidence here. The title is 96 Examples of Food Shortages Being Created in the Past Year. You've got processing plants. You've got contamination issues. You've got destroying animals because of disease that crossed over, like avian flu. They are removing the protein sources. You got fires in warehouses burning down to the ground to get rid of supplies. 96 cases of this. You can go on RBN website. That's republicbroadcasting.org. Find that article. Now, say to yourself, you read through that and go, how could that possibly be? This is no coincidence. This is all being planned out. This is all part of Agenda 2030. This is part of that great reset Klaus Schwab was talking about. And when we have our full-fledged economic collapse, which we are getting closer and closer, looking at Wall Street here, and our prices of our food and our gas prices, we're getting closer and closer to that economic collapse. We will be pushed into the digital currency. That's all the big plan. It's always been the plan to go to a digital currency. The pieces of this puzzle are easy to put together now of what's going on because of people in the past saying too much. That's the thing I find kind of interesting. If people saying too much, and we can go back and find the clips and say, oh, decrease the population. How are you going to do that? Through healthcare and increasing vaccines. Through vaccines. That was Bill Gates back in 2007. You see, we go back to these clips, we find out, and now what do we have? We have vaccines, or not vaccines, but shots being pushed on us, making it mandatory. You must, or you're fired from your job. This is totally Orwellian. I said the other day, this is kind of like Stephen King inside of a Twilight Zone episode. You know, the two bizarre minds of Stephen King and the creator, I guess, of the Twilight Zone, they're merging together, they're melding together, and we are living in the most bizarre evil times right now. And that's why we have to push back really hard, Andrew. We've got to push hard with all our might, because we cannot give in to these issues.
Yes, it's difficult to know just how to do it as well. There's lots of people at this all around the world. For me, the center of the pushback, the center of exposing the evil doers, was always in America. You know, that's where I came up from. I was first listening to, I think, the first, what would you call it, actual conspiracy type show I heard was about 20 years ago, maybe a bit more. And it was Alex Jones interviewing Frosty Waldridge, and I know Frosty, and it was the only time Frosty was ever on his show, so it was funny that that was the first thing I ever heard. And you've done so much out, and going back there, you know, you had RBN running then, and you had, you know, GCN had come up, and of course, you know, John Stadtmeller had essentially founded both, which just goes to show, you know, what he actually did on behalf of humanity. But in the UK, you're seeing people coming through as well, talking about these issues. But another problem that we have that I think that, well, we touched on in our pre-show chat, is they're pushing more and more. If they can't get it through as a law, then they'll justify it as a means of doxing you, or you gave the example yourself, a doctor in the way of what was going on, and they were literally frog marched out the door to the car park, and you know, unceremoniously. You're not allowed to have an opinion outside of this one that's being forced on us. And then we see things like the Deagle, you know, 2025 predictions. I mean, these first came out in 2013. I think I first saw them in 2015. But if you type in Deagle.com into that web archive thing, you know what I mean. I can't think of it at the moment, the title. Yeah. But the one that gives you, you put a website name in and it gives you, people have saved versions of that website over time. So they knew back in 2013 about a population reduction. And I always say it's by 2025. So it doesn't mean that all this happened right at 2025. It could have happened, you know, any time before that. But why were they focusing on that date? And then why do we suddenly see, you know, these vaccines being rolled out in 2020, and then the likes of Doris Cahill again, I'm just bringing this up because the headline's fresh in my mind, 3 to 5 years, well, that's between 2023 and 2025. It's interesting, isn't it, Steve?
Yeah, well, the question I've always had from the very beginning, pointing out the anomalies of to what they're telling us, why is there a necessity? Why is there necessity to create a, they call it a vaccine, when you have a high survivability rate of 99.8% or 99.7%? I think the 97% was for the 70 and older group because of their comorbidities and underlying health problems. But other than that, where's the need? Where's the need to produce a vaccine with something that your body's going to recognize and produce natural immunity to at 97, 98, 99.87%? Why do you need a vaccine? And why not go the traditional route on making that vaccine? If you were going to make the vaccine, which I would not make a vaccine for 99.987%, I wouldn't do that. But if I were to make one, why not make it the traditional method, the live attenuated virus, where they take the virus, weaken it, put it into your body responds to the pathogen recognition and produces antibodies, and now you have natural acquired immunity for the future. Why not go back to the traditional method? That's the way you should make a true vaccine. And they decided to go experimental scientific here. We're going messenger RNA. Why not use the traditional method? Because this had nothing to do with health, Andrew. This was never about health. This is about changing your DNA. This is about recoding your DNA. This is about the depopulation agenda. As a matter of fact, I'd been doing a little research. I didn't know much about it. I've heard about it. We've probably all heard about these Georgia Guidestones. They came out of nowhere. We don't know who put them up. Nobody seems to know much about them. They're translated in a couple different languages. But the translation says the population should be brought down to 500 million. Or is it 500,000? One or the other.
500 billion,
and we have no
idea.
You're right.
Yeah,
it's probably for the world, 500 million for the world. So nobody knows much about it. But then you have these stones, and then it says that. So you must put some credence in that. But I'd like to know more about where they came from, who put them up themselves. But I mean, there's sometimes we get little tidbits of pieces of this and that, and we have to take it in and, you know, reformulate and figure it out. And some of this stuff was pretty simple for me, pretty easy for me. When it comes down to the medical side of it, it was really easy for me to see the fraud from the very, very beginning. You don't need a shot. You don't need a vaccine because we have a high survivability rate. So, okay. And there's no such thing as an asymptomatic spreader. If you don't have symptoms, you don't have a disease. That's the way it is. So why are they walking around? Why are they testing healthy people with a PCR test? Is because they knew the PCR test would give them the cases, the high positive cases, which were false positive cases. They would turn the case into a real case, which needs medical care, which it did not. So it was all based on the cycles. They knew they were going to get the numbers they needed. And that's how they started the fear campaign. And that's when, right before they decided to say, okay, now we got the fear level high enough. Now what do we do? Let's roll out the shot, the solution to this whole thing. It's quite elaborate, quite amazing what they figured out, how to do it, how to roll it out in bits and pieces. It's pretty amazing stuff.
Yeah, I've just ran over to my bookshelf and got my book because I know I put a bit about the Georgia Guidestones in. I can't say a great deal more than you, but people with an eye for detail might be interested. This is from 1980. The Georgia Guidestones are erected in the United States in Elbert County, Georgia. These are engraved with 10 points, the first one being maintain humanity under 500 million in perpetual balance with nature. Being as the world population is, well, it's over 7 billion now, but back then in 1980 it was over 6 billion. This will mean a reduction of 90% of the world's population. Interestingly, on 24th of July of 1980, a document called the Global 2000 Report to the President is presented to President Carter. This report indicates that the resources of the planet are not sufficient enough to support the expected dramatic increase in the world population and calls for US population to be reduced by 100 million people by the year 2050. And the 6 billion, I don't know if that was in 1980, I think that was probably when I put the book out, in when it originally came out about 15 years ago, that's probably more likely. So yeah, so you've got I'd forgotten about this Global 2000 report to President Carter back from 1980, talking about needing to reduce the population. So it's nothing new, is it, Steve?
No, it's not. Instead of using it through maybe responsibility and birth control, I would have no issue with that to say, maybe we shouldn't have too many children. Maybe we should cut back on the number of children we have. But that's responsibility issues and through birth control. And we know we have that. We have that. We got plenty. I don't know how many different birth control methods do we actually have. But evidently they feel that's not enough to bring down the population because people aren't, let's face it, they like sex and they don't, they still want children, I guess. I don't know. I look today and I wouldn't want a child. I would not bring a child into this world today. I would not bring a child to this world. You have to fight to say this is my child and they want to put drugs into your child. They want to brainwash your child, indoctrinate your child, this and that. So I wouldn't want to have a child in this day and time. But we do have many methods to limit the number of people we can put on this earth here. But they've decided that's not good enough. We need a drastic measure here. And so this whole thing was thought out. This was thought out long ago. This is the Agenda 21, which later on said, we need to retool this. We need to make it a little faster, get going on this. Let's call it now Agenda 2030, and let's bring down this population. So, like I said, the pieces of the puzzle on this one are pretty easy to put together, that you've made the statement you want to bring down the population, and how are you going to do it? Through a vaccine, through a shot. They're going to space it out over time, and that's why the new diagnosis, the new cause of death, sudden adult death syndrome, is now out there, and it's going to be commonplace, and we're supposed to accept that. We're supposed to say, you know what? Normal people walking around, one day you find, oh, they died. What happened? Oh, they went to bed and they just didn't wake up again. But they're only 30 years old. And we're supposed to accept this new cause of death. It just happens. It just happens. We have the explanation. It's called SAD. We don't need autopsies. We don't need any other research done on that. We've already decided it. Here it is. And that will be the explanation for the next 15 years of the spaced out and the wave of death we're going to see with young people. And let's not forget the infertility. Sperm rates going down and young adults not aiming to have children. I mean, this is going to be interesting because the teen population, we've always talked about teen pregnancy. My God, teen pregnancy is terrible and not responsible. So they go into the schools, they bring condoms, they show other ways to prevent pregnancy, and that doesn't work. They're just, kids are kids, teenagers are teenagers. So now we're going to see teen pregnancy plummet, and we're going to say, what happened here? Did they become responsible? Did they start using the birth control methods? Did they use the condoms? No, they can't have children. They can't have children. They're infertile now. The women and the young men are infertile. They can't have children, can't conceive. And that's going to be, and nobody's going to explain that either. Nobody's going to come back and say, oh, wow, what happened to teen pregnancy? It's bottomed out. Teens aren't getting pregnant anymore. And somebody will come behind and say, well, they're responsible now. They're using condoms and they're using birth control. Lie. Lie. They're lazy. They're lazy. They're still lazy. And no, they're still having sex. They just can't get pregnant anymore. These shots are going to make them infertile.
Yeah, it's worrying because I'm sure, you know, you've touched on it. I have someone close to me who's had, her and her family have had all the vaccines and the booster and all that sort of stuff. And when they release the next one, they'll be first in line for that too. Right. And then you hear something about the topic of shedding and stuff. And, you know, if that is real, it's something I don't tend to listen to because I can't, you know, keep my distance from her. It's very difficult. So, you know, you just have to hope that that's it may happen in some cases, or maybe that's not happening. But I hear too much evidence that it is. But I don't believe it necessarily happens with everybody. But I do think it's something that's out there. But as you said, it's caused a real division amongst people. And even in the Bible, it talks about, you know, in these end times, different family members, you know, will turn against each other. It actually says, I forget, you know, mother turning against son, daughter turning against father, these sort of things, brother against sister. I forget the wording, but the implication is that even close family units, and that would include close friends too, something happens which causes them to turn against one another. And I mean, the only example I'm aware of that historically has got to be these vaccines, where some people in a family were wanted to take them, and that it became such an emotive issue that if someone else didn't, they were sort of banned and ostracized from family gatherings. Your thoughts, yeah. Steve?
Yeah. This has divided many families. You know, it's interesting. This subject matter has divided many families, along with political parties. You know, Hillary versus Donald Trump. This is we have families that are not families anymore. We're losing our families, and that's actually all by design also, Andrew, if you think about it. A family that's divided can be easily controlled. A people that are not united can be easily controlled. And so the whole idea of a family, nuclear family, staying a family together, is not what they want. The evil mind said it's easier to control you, to rule over you, if you're all divided rather than united. And that's exactly what's going on. You mentioned shedding. And one of the other questions I had for Dr. Peter McCullough was, how long do you shed after taking these COVID-19 shots? Well, there's a Harvard study that went for 60 days. It said you were shedding the virus, the spike proteins. You were shedding the spike proteins for at least 60 days. But for some reason, here's the odd twist on this, is that the Harvard study only lasted 60 days. And then shut down, which is the question I have, is why? You stopped before, I mean, you should have gone out much further than this, and then you stopped at 60 days, and so you just call it, well, you shed it for at least 60 days, the spike protein. After that, we don't know. We think you go a little further with, why not go further with the research? I'm quite of not understanding why the Harvard study stopped at 60 days.
Yeah. No, that is interesting. And Steve, we've got a few minutes left. So any thoughts on the other thing occupying the news at the moment? It's obviously COVID and it's Ukraine, Russia, all these different things. What are your thoughts on the Putin situation? I'll let you know mine first. Go ahead. You take it away.
Well, I'm going to say that it's how long is it going to last? A good question. How long will this last? I think there's some that want to keep this thing stretched out forever, definitely over the summer. It's a money pit for the United States. For some reason, I don't know why the United States refers to Ukraine as their best buddies. I don't know. It's a corrupt little government, but I know we had the coup in 2014, put the puppet government in, but there's something else going on there, definitely. And it's a good excuse also. It's a good diversion away from everything else here, too, if you think about it. You got the Russian invasion of Ukraine here, and we have an economy here that's tumbling. Like I said, we're going to have this economic collapse sometime, probably in the fall, I would think. I don't think they can keep this thing afloat until fall. I think sometime in the fall this is going to crash. We're going to have our major economic collapse here. The Fed is getting together today to talk about raising borrowing interest rates, probably a quarter point, maybe a half point possibly, which is going to do nothing to cool off its economy. It's imploding right now. Fuel prices, food prices, shortages here and there. It's bubbling. And all the money that was pumped out by the Federal Reserve. They created this problem. It's funny that they created the problem, and now you go back to them for the solution to the problem. And of course, that's raising taxes, which they want to do. And then, of course, increase the borrowing rate. It's they're going to the wrong people. These people are not experts at what they do at the Federal Reserve. Janet Yellen being one of the most incompetent, inept people I think I've ever seen in my life, with her quotes saying, "We didn't see this one coming." You don't understand that when you print more money, you print a lot of money up and it doesn't attach to a good or services and floats around. Don't you understand that brings down the value of a dollar? What's so hard to understand? This is simple economics 101 here. Janet Yellen doesn't get it. She still keeps her job, by the way. You know, she's still there. So I say it's a diversion. I don't know how long it's going to go. I know it's going to cost us a lot more money being printed up. It never ends. I think it's $100 million a day the United States is vested in this whole thing. And I think we're at, $56 billion. And I just heard last night on America's Voice News that $40 billion of that is tied up somewhere. They don't even know where it is. It never actually got to Ukraine for the supplies they needed and whatever they needed. It didn't get there. Where is it? Probably stolen. I have no idea. There's no accountability on it all. And when you don't have steps in place to have accountability on this kind of sum of money, it's going to be stolen. Maybe that was the purpose all along. And we got some oligarchs that are going to be very, very wealthy. And Russia is going to win this war against Ukraine. And those are going to escape. People are going to escape with the money they've stolen from the United States, your tax dollars.
Yeah, no, excellent summing up there, Steve. So before we go, can you please let the audience know again where they can find your shows and just tell us a little bit about beyond the Off the Beaten Path and the National Intel Report, what times they're on, etc.?
Well, Off the Beaten Path is on Sundays. It's on 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the National Intel Report I do is 6 to 8 p.m. on a Monday evening. You know, when I first started Off the Beaten Path, and people say, "Where'd you get that title?" I got the title actually from my dog. My dog, I walk my dog around a park all the time, and there's a certain pathway we always go. One time, I don't know why it happened, she decided, "Can we go the opposite direction, Off the Beaten Path?" And I thought to myself, well, there's a good title right there. But it also equates to the pathway that we've been directed on, pushed on by the narrative of government to believe and never question what they say. And so Off the Beaten Path is stepping off their pathway and using your own common sense, your own critical thinking skills to look at the situation and come up with your own ideas of what the answer is, not just being spoon-fed and following their narrative. It's simply using common sense, using your own mind to think things through and not being guided on their pathway. So you step off their path. You're off the beaten path.
Thank you so much, Steve. I look forward to those shows on the Sunday and the Monday. So, folks, you go to republicbroadcasting.org to listen to those. There'll be links to Steve's archives in the post for this show. I want to thank Steve for joining me today for a show entitled Sudden Adult Death Syndrome. I want to thank all of you for listening. Have a wonderful day. I'll be back with you all tomorrow. And until then, folks, bye for now.